DW Africa Link.
Hello and a warm welcome to this edition of Africa Link, coming to you live from our studios in Bonn, Germany. I am Zipporah Nyambura.
And my name is Isaac Mugabe. We are also live on our Facebook page, DW Africa, and through our partner radio stations. Coming up, rescue efforts are underway in Lagos after building collapses and with more than 100 children who remain trapped. We are from a correspondent in Lagos.
Here, people always want to cut corners. They do things very cheaply, go the cheap way, without thinking of the lives of those involved.
French President Emmanuel Macron becomes the first French president to tour Kenya since independence. Analysts believe the visit is strategic to counter China's influence in the East Africa region.
We are deeply committed in working together with Kenya on different topics. First, security, counter-terrorism, and the second item is indeed to open a new partnership in economy.
Another blow for British Prime Minister Theresa May as the Parliament rejects her Brexit deal.
Do not miss out on the details of these stories coming up shortly after the world news in brief.
DW News.
I'm Eunice Wanjiro with DW News. In Nigeria, dozens of people are feared dead after a multi-story building collapsed in the Itafaji area of Lagos. Among those feared trapped are children who were attending a nursery and primary school on the top floor of the residential building. The Lagos Emergency Management Agency said 10 people had been recovered alive since emergency responders arrived. Britain's Parliament is debating whether to leave the EU without a deal for a future relationship ahead of a vote later today. Prime Minister Theresa May said she wants an orderly withdrawal and intends to vote against a no-deal Brexit. German Chancellor Angela Merkel insisted that an orderly Brexit was in the interest of both Britain and the EU.
Achieving an orderly exit together, and I particularly want to repeat this today, remains in our mutual interest.
Chancellor Merkel expressed regret that Britain's Parliament on Tuesday had rejected for a second time the withdrawal deal agreed between Brussels and Prime Minister Theresa May. Guinea-Bissau's historic ruling party won legislative elections by 47 out of 102 seats, but will have to rely on a deal with smaller parties to command a majority, according to results published by the election board. Sunday's vote aimed to settle a nearly four-year-old crisis that erupted after President José Mário Vaz sacked his Prime Minister Domingos Simoes Pereira, who was head of the governing party PAIGC. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. Aircraft maker Boeing and the US Federal Aviation Administration are increasingly isolated in refusing to ground the Boeing 737 MAX following Sunday's fatal crash in Ethiopia. Investigators there are sifting through the wreckage of the brand new 737 crash that crashed minutes after takeoff. Ethiopian Airlines says the flight recorders will be sent abroad for analysis. It was the second disaster involving a new 737 MAX after a crash in Indonesia 5 months ago. Many airlines and countries have now grounded the plane, but the US and Boeing insist that it's safe. An Australian court has sentenced Cardinal George Pell, a former close advisor to Pope Francis, to 6 years in prison. He was found guilty of molesting two choir boys in a cathedral. Pell is the most senior among leading clergymen to be convicted of child sex abuse. And finally, at least 66 people have been killed and 141,000 affected after heavy rains flooded central and northern Mozambique, the government said as it appealed for funds to manage the crisis. In neighboring Malawi, floods have already claimed 45 lives and left over 230,000 people without shelter. Malawi's meteorological department has warned of more rains and flooding in the country's south between Thursday and Sunday. For more news and information, visit our webpage at dw.com. I'm Eunice Wanjiro.
And this is DW's Africa Link program, coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. Thanks to all of you listening to us, also on our partner radio stations across Africa. We start off today's program in Nigeria, where as many as 100 children were feared trapped on Wednesday after a building containing a primary school collapsed in Nigeria's commercial capital, Lagos.
The multi-story school building collapsed while classes were in session, with scores of children thought to be inside. Now, a short while ago before we came on air, I spoke to our correspondent Samuel Koe in Lagos to tell us more about the latest. Take a listen.
The Lagos State Governor was there not too long ago, and he said 25 children have been pulled out of the rubble, which is maybe some good news, but then I still fear that quite a number of people are still trapped in there, and the rescue effort is still going on. Unfortunately, I think this is hampered to a very large extent by the very large crowd and the fact that the neighborhood is such a place where you cannot even move in heavy equipment. We have been told that the German company Julius Berger, which is a major company here, is about to move in equipment there to help with the rescue effort, because so far it has been just a very basic effort using hands, buckets and the rest. So we hope that very shortly large equipment will be brought in.
Nigeria is frequently hit by building collapses, with weak enforcement of regulations and poor construction materials often used. If I may take you back, Sam, in 2016, more than 100 people were killed when a church came down in southeastern Nigeria. It's still fresh in the minds of people. Why?
I think here people always want to cut corners. They do things very cheaply, go the cheap way, without thinking of the lives of those involved. If we may look at the current incident, we are talking of a place where we've had consistently buildings going down. And this has to do with the fact that these buildings were very old, built 30, 40, 50 years ago, and were not well built. And what is happening there is that the landlords, they are raising this building beyond the original limit. So when you have a building of two floors, sometimes it goes as far as five floors. If you go there without being told, you will see the markings where the original building is and then what has been added to it. And the governor was saying it this afternoon that integrity tests were supposed to be conducted in the area on that street. Incidentally, this particular building passed the integrity test. But then we are told that the landlords in that area are resisting this integrity test. And no, you cannot test a house. So people do the wrong thing and they want to get away with it. Landlords want to make quick money by raising their buildings, not minding that in raising these buildings, the foundation, these buildings don't have powerful foundations to hold the two, three or four extra floors they are putting on these buildings.
I was speaking to DW Sam Olukoya in Lagos. Now, there are fears of fatalities after three-story building that, you know, housed this school could have happened. But of course, we're still waiting in for more reports as long as the investigations are being carried out. Like we mentioned at the beginning of the program, rescue efforts are ongoing. Some of you have been commenting on this story, and Bitoa Walters says, may God save those kids for us.
And Franklin Fona says, it's a very sad state. I extend my condolences to all those families that lost their loved ones.
Plus, Rene says, how can a school be allowed to operate in such dilapidated structure? And Zippy, of course, you heard from a correspondent saying, you know, many of these buildings are really more than 30 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nora Malachi says, God, please come and rescue these little children. And then moving ahead, another top story, Britain's road to leaving the European Union suffered yet another setback after MPs rejected Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit deal for a second time on Tuesday night.
Several EU leaders have expressed dismay after her deal was defeated by 149 votes just 2 weeks before the UK leaves the European Union. Parliament will now vote tonight on whether to leave without a deal. DW's Barbara Vessel is following the developments there and tells us the implications of the divorce deal defeat.
This second defeat means, of course, that Theresa May's plan to have her country leave the European Union on the 23rd of March is pretty much in tatters, because this is 2 weeks from now and it is simply not doable. So you can put that aside. There have been rumors today that she might even go back to Parliament with the same plan for a third time, but they have been squashed so far. So we don't know whether that will happen. But what will happen today, tonight rather, is that Parliament in Westminster is going to vote against a no deal. That means that this cliff edge scenario is off the table.
So what would leaving without a deal mean for Great Britain?
It would mean that all the ties between Britain and the European Union, the 27 other countries that have grown over 45 years, would be sort of abruptly cut. That concerns everything. Could British trucks still drive on European soil? How many of them? With what sort of permits? I mean, the list is absolutely endless. Now, if you suddenly take a pair of scissors and cut all this off, then the island of Great Britain is going to be completely isolated and alone within its own seas. And the difficulties that will arise and people are just taking a journey, taking a trip, having vacations. I mean, just every aspect of life are going to be enormous.
What's the likelihood that the EU could extend the date of Britain leaving the EU from the 29th of March?
Yeah, they would, even though at the moment there is a certain amount of anger in the room. That might happen tomorrow, that Parliament, and it's a scheduled vote on that particular issue, to ask for an extension of the leaving date. However, they need to present a reasonable and viable plan what they want to do with that time.
I was talking to DW's Barbara Vessel in London.
Now, French President Emmanuel Macron has kicked off his two-day tour of Kenya, the first visit by sitting French president. Speaking upon his arrival, he said France is seeking to open a new economic partnership with Kenya amid its reports of China's growing influence in the East African region.
Macron is also expected to attend the United Nations Environment Assembly currently going on in Nairobi. Andrew Asike has more.
It's a historic visit that was marked by pomp and color as the military band welcomed the first French president to visit the country since independence. Speaking after meeting President Uhuru Kenyatta, he said they had signed bilateral trade agreements to boost economic ties between the two countries.
We are deeply committed in working together with Kenya on different topics. First, security, counterterrorism, and obviously the regional agenda. We want to improve the cooperation in the region from a security and defense point of view. The second item is indeed to open a new partnership in economy. So we've just signed a series of agreements, and we will sign tomorrow morning a series of new agreements in order to develop public and private partnerships.
His trip comes as the French plan to build a state-of-the-art commuter rail service from the Central Business District to Jomo Kenyatta International Airport. The two presidents are also set to launch a new line of vehicles to be manufactured in Kenya. Analysts like Terry Dubois believe France is keen on sealing its economic ties on the fast-growing region.
It's long overdue, let's say, and this is where things are happening now, which is why France has decided to have one of their stops on this tour in Kenya. And then the business people from France, and they come for business opportunities, they come to learn about the market, and they come to network with Kenyan firms.
Macron's next stop will be Rwanda, where he has been invited for the 25th anniversary of the genocide massacre.
Andrew Asike with that report all the way from Nairobi.
Now, Macron's trip comes as two French firms, reportedly Joseph Remat, $1 billion contract to upgrade a key highway in Kenya. Deals of this nature have become the hallmark of China's infrastructure investment in Africa. And we have some comments from you reacting to this story, beginning with Antti Reddy says, we as Africans should put aside selfishness and start voting in Pan-Africans. President Kenyatta is among the top Chinese puppets in Africa.
That's a good one. And Senior Kamau seems to refute that. He says, Kenya is not like other African states. He says, we are well equipped with the necessary skills to understand our multilateral engagement.
So many controversial comments coming in. Che Ernest Che says, anyway, you see the French, rest assured there will be recognition, poverty, and democratic process and civil conflict.
And Amber Missiles is very skeptical, says Macron means nothing good to Kenya. It's never well where France goes. Serious warning to Kenya.
Well, you can keep up the debate on this topic, whether it's good for French to indulge with business with Kenya, by going to our Facebook page, DW Africa. Leave your comments there, and we'll always come to them whenever we can. Welcome back wherever you are listening to us from. And in case you're just tuning in, this is DW's Africa Link Show. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. A warm welcome to all of you. Remember, we have much more coming up in the next 15 minutes.
Coming up, we will be hearing how a group of women in Kenya are protecting elephants from poachers. This is interesting. Take a listen.
At 5 a.m., I do my chores. At 8 a.m., I pick up my data forms and the GPS and walk to the wildlife corridor. We don't just observe elephants, but the other animals too.
Be sure you do not miss that story from Mama Tembo, a very passionate lady there who is protecting elephants.
Yeah, she's with another group of women. And, you know, Zipa, I can imagine if someone sent you in Tsavo National Park or the Serengeti to go and protect elephants and lions, I'm sure you'll stay in your house, wouldn't you?
Isaac, we'll get there.
Would you join them? Anyway, but first, whether Zip will tell us whether she would join Mama Tembo's to South Africa, where panic has gripped the ruling party, the African National Congress, ANC, and the country at large, following damning revelations on the abuse of powers of the State Security Agency the last 10 years.
The findings by a high-level review panel indicate that the agency has, over time, been used to serve the interest of ANC functions and those of former President Jacob Zuma and his allies. As Tuso Kumalo reports from Johannesburg, the news is a blow to ANC's credibility a few months before the elections in May.
There's been angry reactions days after that damning report, indicating how former President Zuma and his allies used the state machinery to abuse power and serve their own political interest. The State Security Agency is also said to have spied on labor unions and civil society organizations to influence the media as well as forming a fake union. The report is calling for criminal charges against former ministers of intelligence, its officials, as well as former President Jacob Zuma. ANC has been in power since 1994, but political analysts like Lesiba Tefo believe the report is an indictment to the ruling party.
They must look deep into themselves and say, we were party to this. Perhaps we would have been in a better space have we just been honest with ourselves and said we are representing the country and not the party.
However, ANC's acting spokesperson Dakota Lehwate says the findings are not a party issue, despite the implication of some senior party members.
This particular matter is a matter within the ambit of government. As the African National Congress, in particularly Tula House, we have limitations on names which are alleged to be there. I would not also want to comment because in government there is a process where you deal with such issues.
The opposition and the civil society have called for the suspension of sitting ministers who are implicated. Ordinary South Africans are angry that the agency put the country at a security risk, focusing only on ANC factional backlist. In reaction, Zuma has hit back, tweeting that those who are opening the can of worms might regret it, even as more fingers point at him. Former Minister of Intelligence Ronnie Castles explains.
He's very responsible for the rot, because we know now with the Watsons and the Guptas et al. That it's not just this area.
President Cyril Ramaphosa, who set up the probe committee, says they are focused on rebuilding the past wrongs.
It's good to be transparent and to let these things come out so that we can repair whatever damage has been done in the past. So I'm very relaxed.
Some analysts, however, fear President Ramaphosa could be accused of using commissions of inquiry to punish those who opposed his election as ANC president, something they say will further weaken the party going into May national elections.
Tuso Kumalo with that report. Talking of spying, we did ask on our Facebook page, would you tolerate a government that wants to know your every move? And Jerry Kwanku says yes, if only there are good guys out to catch the bad guys to stamp out crime, not for political witch hunts or vendettas.
Tam Basada says, I don't think the problem is Jacob Zuma. It's the laws put in place, except if you tell me that the security officials acted outside the law.
And Kani Mbase, writing from Cameroon, says, just like Cameroon, where the government is good at spying on political activists fighting for reforms and democratic values.
And Abraham Z. Joseph says, why should the government know my moves or about my privacy? Emmanuel Tilasha says, the whole world are being spied on by Facebook and Google. And I agree.
On the spot.
On the spot today, we head to Guinea-Bissau, where the historic ruling party won legislative elections. They will, however, have to rely on a deal with smaller parties to command a majority, according to results published Wednesday by the election board.
The PAIGC, or the African Party for the Independence of Guinea and Cape Verde, won 47 out of 102 seats, the National Electoral Commission said, giving provisional results today. The party forged an agreement, however, on supporting a PAIGC-led government with parties which hold seven seats. DW's Bram Foshimas takes us a little bit back on what happened prior to the announcement of the much-expected results today and the many coups that have happened in that country.
Up to 20 political parties participated, but the three main ones have dominated all discourse. They are the ruling PAIGC, the African Party for the Independence of Guinea and Cape Verde, which has been in power almost continuously since independence in 1974. The other two are the main opposition PRS, Party for Social Renewal, and a brand new group, MADEM, the Movement for Democratic Change. This is a breakaway group from the PAIGC, led by President José Mário Vaz. His standoff with PAIGC leader Domingos Simões Pereira lies at the heart of Guinea-Bissau's current political stalemate, which this election is hoping to solve. On voting day, people calmly lined up at the many voting stations and did what some called their civic duty, and others qualified simply as exercising their rights. But they all had the country's future in mind, as this voter from the remote Santa Clara suburb explains.
I'm Nene Nia. We need change in this country. Our children don't go to school. Me, I take care of everything in the home. But my husband, who is out working, hasn't been paid for months. I want things to improve for all of us, and whoever wins this election must work for that.
The spokeswoman for the National Election Commission told me that voting day itself had been without incidents, that there were a few technical glitches that had been solved on the spot, and she added that if there were any parties that wanted to protest the results, they'd be free to do so. What's more widely at stake was explained to me by Rui Landim, a former lecturer at the Guinea-Bissau University and the country's most sought-after political analyst.
It's not any particular political party that is in crisis. It's the entire system, the institutions. The system consists of people who have their own personal interests and that of their clients and clans. There aren't any differences between political parties when it comes to policies or strategies. It's only when someone's personal interests are not being served that you get what's happened to the ruling party.
A clear message there from voters and analysts alike. Get your house in order. In Guinea-Bissau, parliament is known as Assembleia Nacional Popular, the National People's Assembly. Guineans are waiting for the time that it starts to live up to that name.
Bram Posimas with that report. And just to remind you, you're the listener, Guinea-Bissau is the country, the number one country in Africa, that has experienced many coup d'etats more than any other in history, since independence. Every now and then, Zippy, they have a coup d'etat. And the party, the PAIGC, like Bram Posimas has been saying, has been in power since independence, but has had to forge a coalition with other small parties. It is a fast-developing story, and we'll always bring it to you whenever we can.
Living Planet Africa.
And now to matters of Living Planet. As you heard, a group of women in Samburu, Kenya, have taken it upon themselves to look after their gentle giant neighbors.
Mama Tembo, which means elephant mother in Swahili, combines technology with community interaction. These mothers take care of animals, and the animals they take care of are the giant elephants, with as well as other animals in their neighborhood. Here's a report by Toko Kariuki in Nairobi.
It's early in the morning in Samburu County, Kenya. Mpayon Loboitongo is taking her family's animals out to the grazing fields, but that's just one job she'll do today. Mpayon adds a few accessories for her next job as a wildlife conservationist. She is the leader of a women group popularly known as Mama Tembo's, Mother of Elephants. Their task is to monitor the movements of the big animals. At 5 a.m., I do my chores and then get my children ready for school. At 8 a.m., I pick up my data forms and the GPS and walk to the wildlife corridor. We don't just observe elephants, but the other animals too. Yet the elephants are still their primary interest. The pachyderms are endangered. In Kenya alone, between the early 1970s and 1990s, their numbers dropped 90%. An animal conservation organization has provided the women with GPS devices and data sheets. The fact that antelope came through here is a good sign.
An elephant is just an umbrella species. It's a big animal. And if an elephant has enough space to survive, enough space to roam around, no doubt other small animals will go under the elephants. And this is why it's been elephants. And also the data that we have, it's coming from elephants.
Things are quiet today, but that doesn't mean the women aren't on the lookout. They want to protect wild animals, but they also have to watch out for themselves. Wild animals are dangerous. We have lions, elephants, and other dangerous animals. We do feel anxious as we walk. You can run across animals at any time, and we don't even know what to do to save our lives. These are the challenges. We do worry. Another source of worry is poachers. The conservancy collects the skull of slaughtered animals, but they are finding fewer and fewer of them. Life has become a little more secure for the majestic beasts, thanks to the presence of armed rangers.
The conservancies, in fact, have created a commodious wildlife disposal areas in a very secure environment. Because security is assured, there is a constant rangers patrol.
In the evening, Mpayon returns to her first job. Her family depends on it. The small sum she receives for monitoring the elephants is a welcome extra income, but contributing to the protection of the elephants is a reward in itself.
That report was by Tuku Kariuki in Nairobi. And if you'd like to see these videos of mothers taking care of the animals, just go to our page, dw.com/Africa. There is an interesting video. You'll see the colorful beads worn by these mothers and how they do their work, starting the morning and how they end the day, looking after the animals as well as their families. Now, Zippy, at the beginning of this segment, you thought you would dodge this question. So if it were you and you were told to go and protect the animals in any national park, what would come in your mind first?
If it's the elephants, I think I will do it. Do you know why I will do it? Because elephants are largely peaceful.
Yeah, but
it's not like a lion or...
Yeah, and you know, in Kenya has Tsavo National Park. And it's one country where lions actually roam in the capital, near the capital, because of the encroachment. Yes. You know that. Many people, when they're told about conservation, they're like, oh my God, I'm scared of the lions. I'm scared of these animals. But as you heard in this report, the mothers protect every animal in their neighborhood.
Yeah, but mostly, as we heard, it's the elephants, because I think, unlike the lions, as you say, and the lions are a danger, actually, in Nairobi, as we are talking now, yeah. When they roam freely. So that is actually a challenge for all.
Yeah, it's all about actually safety, because animals normally are peaceful as long as you don't you don't try to threaten them. You saw that video that went viral of Maasai stealing meat from from lions.
So, that's a big risk, because we know what has happened in this region as well.
Anyway, before we leave you, our top story was a 3-to-4-story building has collapsed in Nigeria's commercial capital, Lagos, and more than 100 children are feared to be trapped. This is the first developing story that we'll always bring to you whenever we can. But for more of this story, just go to our page, dw.com/Africa. You will certainly find it there and tell us your thoughts by going to our Facebook page, DW Africa. And before we end up, on behalf of the production crew, I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. Bye for now.
DW. Made for Minds.